today we're going to learn about Ritzoinoi Shel Adam. Okay, Kuf Nun, Halacha Kuf Nun Beis. Halacha Kuf Nun Beis. On page Kuf Lamed, only one volume over there. Only Aleph, the Aleph. No, Aleph. There are two volumes. Okay. Halacha on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Halacha Kuf Nun Beis Ritzoinoi Shel Adam Zehu Kivoidai. What a person wants, that's his covet. Some people like turkey roll. Some don't like turkey roll. Don't think that you're doing a person a favor by giving him something that he does not want. The will of a person is a very famous expression. Vafilu likibud ovo ein. Even when it comes to giving honor to one's parents, even though the average parent, this is what they would love, they would enjoy. If your parents do not want this, they do not enjoy this, giving them something that they do not want or enjoy, even though they are yechidim in this matter, is not a fulfillment of kibud avoim. Afilu kibud avoim she'im lo kein, afilu tzadik gamur lo yuchal linotzel min ho'aveira. Now, what do we mean by that? What do we mean that a tzadik gamur cannot be spared? Ketzat. He explains what he means over here. Aviv imoi the if your father or mother, they pass you a kois, how are you allowed to accept food from your parents? Kibud avoim demands that you give honor to your parents, not that your parents give honor to you. So if you, what? So parents support their children, exactly. So you want to go expand this to modern times, that parents support their children. The problem is many parents are not so happy supporting their children. But let's not get into politics. let's discuss just basic halacha. A parent gives a child food, gives them a gift. What kind of this person is in the violation of kibud avoim? Kibud avoim is a one-way street. You give to your parents, not your parents give to you. So what is the answer? The answer is, Ritzoinoi shel Adam zeu kavodai. A parent by nature wants to give. If the parent wants to give you a gift, and they want you to accept it, by you accepting it, this is the kibud avoim. Obviously, don't abuse this. Okay, don't abuse, but for a child or someone on a certain level and a parent wants to give a person the matana, this is the kibud avoim. Otherwise, if you're not going to say this principle that every time a parent gives the child a gift, the child is in violation of one of the most severe mitzvahs of kibud avoim. Here, I've taken it from my parents instead of giving to my parents, so therefore, chas v'shalom, a person will say, I'm not going to be married to bracha. No, you do marry it, because since this is what the parents sincerely want, Ritzoinoi shel Adam zeu kavodai. V'kama dvarim shalein Adam yochal lihi shamet nehem. There are many examples like this, where even though it would appear to an observer, or theoretically, that this is an avera, but being that the parent or the person that's giving this what they want is this not the avera, this is a mitzvah. L'chein toiv hu l'chol yirei Hashem sheyimchalu l'vneim es kvaidam af lo yidiyasim. So now he's going off on a tangent when it comes to parent. The parenting technique is that a parent should be moichel on their kavod. Kidei shelo lahanisham, because if a parent is not moichel on their kavod, then their children will be nichshol every single day and moment in the severe avera of not being mechabe their parents. And that will lead to their children to suffer. And no parent wants to see their child suffer. Ki hod rav huna b'kara shiroi b'yapei rav b'rei. For example, Rav Huna, he took silk garments, very expensive, and he ripped them up in the presence of his son, lehaknitoi, to anger him, lirois im yichois, to see if he gets angry, umochaloi. So here's another idea. To cause a person to get angry, he's going off on a tangent, to get angry is a terrible avera. And certainly to cause a child to get angry at their father, and even hit their father. Can you imagine the father over here? He's taking something which cost an enormous amount of money, and he's destroying it. So the son is probably thinking in his head, Dad, why are you destroying this expensive item? don't you know that soon you're going to die? And I'm going to inherit this, and I'm going to put it up for auction. You have in the painting, a painting is worth $10,000. And the father takes it and throws it into the fireplace. So the son goes berserk. Because over here, the son was going to yarsh in this painting, and he would have $10,000 in his pocket. So what does the son do? He says, Dad, you're nuts. And he hits his father. So look what has happened. The son has done the worst possible avera in the world by causing pain, by getting angry and abusing his father. So now the question, but whose fault is that? The one that did this was the father. The father went and he did this knowing that the son's going to get angry. So Gemara says that in this particular instance it was permitted because the father, yeah, every situation is obviously different, felt that it was kedai to teach him the lesson not to get angry. And the only way you can teach a child not to get angry is actually doing a real live experiment. By doing something which in the normal circumstances would cause a sting operation, would cause the child to get angry, and it would be a real test. And if the child would fail, the father would use that as an example, a lesson, a tool to train the child. No, you should not get angry. What is money anyway in this world? Hulu, hulu. Obviously, this is an extreme example in here. But there's a more fundamental question. The father, for the purposes of chinuch, is allowed to do this to destroy property, to teach a child not to get angry. But what about the son is going to be nichshol in a severe avera of getting angry, not just getting angry at himself or getting angry in general, but getting angry at his father? What about kibud avoein? And the answer is the father has permission to be moichel. Okay, a father can be moichel on his kavod because the father was the one who brought the child into this world. It's a kavod. When it comes to kavod out of Torah, there are times when you cannot be moichel. But when it comes to kibud av o'em, there are things that a father can forgive because the only reason why the child exists is because the father brought him into this world. You are my creation. Being that you are my creation, I have a power to forgive you for getting angry at me. And according to the Sefer Hasidim, this is a requirement. Every parent has to know this and has to forgive his children for not treating them with the proper respect so that the child will not suffer in this world and the next world. And certainly no parent wants to see their child suffer.
If every day he's going to make anger and suffer, father, he should every day say, mochel, mochel, mochel.
So there's one general mechila. You make an announcement in advance. I'm mochel mikanul haba, anything that my child does to me.
It's a form of discipline, tough love, isn't it?
It's a form of... Everything has a balance. Yes, everything has a balance. Every child is different. Every parent is different. Every situation is different. Every generation is different. There are many, many variables, and no one or no person, no situation, no child fits into a mold. There are too many variables in every situation to generalize what is the proper technique. But one thing is for certain. There is no such thing in this world as a parent that doesn't do something for a child the child does not deserve. And therefore, you could argue that when the child accepts a gift from a parent, he is in violation of not fulfilling the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. And that's a very serious problem. And to that, Rav Yehuda Chassid says, the solution is a parent should forgive the child for not giving him the proper honor. And if he does not forgive the child, it can be very dangerous. It's a very important principle. Next halacha. Kuf, no. There is a person who is a good person. On the side it says, Rosh Chacham Nikra Mishalamad Me'acherim. Okay, so a person who is a good student. Shalibai Doilek Achar Ritzoyin Boiro. They have a good students who want to fulfill Hashem's will. Ve'enoi Marbe Maisim Toivim Kechosid HaChacham Mibnei Shekibel Meirabai. And what does that mean exactly? Go on the side, he explains it on the side, on the left side, in the parish. Ratzalaymar. Shechocham nikrama mi shalimeid meacherim. Ulekach mi shaloi kibel meirabai einamar bemasim toivim kechosid hachocham. Ve'ein ve'ilu hoyu yodeo hoyu mekayim. He doesn't know what to do. He was not taught. Uma shechaver lo hirbe lefi shaloi kibel meirabai. And if he knew, he would be mekayim. So what is the purpose of this whole statement over here? So he goes further. Lefisha amru lo'oila mihe adam arum biyir. A person should be clever in regard to fearing Hashem. He's going to explain that. We'll come back and explain. But let's see a few more words. Vine mi shaloi lamad. A person that did not study, because he just does not have the ability to study. Not everyone is blessed with a mind that can absorb information. That's just unfortunately a reality of this world. Even a person that did study, even people who are knowledgeable, do study, spend the whole day studying, they don't necessarily understand fully the material that they are studying. Umatzin v'tayra, shekol mi sheyachol lahavin af al pi shaloi nitztava. Any person that is able to understand, even though he was not commanded, nenash aleha al shaloi som al libay. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk v'yikas of Moshe al pekudei hachayil. This is a very interpretation. Moshe got angry at the officers. Sorei halafim v'sorei amios habor mitzvah mulchama vayomer alayem hachrisim kol neshama. Why did you allow the Mochemes Midian, when the Jewish people went out to fight the nation of Midian, because the nation of Midian was provoking, was inciting the Jewish people by sending out their young daughters to cause them to Menichsh Narayos, they went to war against them, and they did not kill the females. And Moshe was angry at the soldiers why they left them alive. Now, v'lomo loy anu loy, this is a very basic question, and he's teaching us mamish basic chumash. Why didn't the people, the soldiers who went out to this war of Midian, which took place in the aftermath of Balak and Bilam, Balak hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. When Bilam was unsuccessful, he said to Balak, "I failed, but let me give you advice what you should do if you want to succeed. Send out your young daughters to the Jewish camp in a way that will incite them to sin in Gilui Arayos. Do things. Come up with ideas in order that they should be nichshol in having their young men live with or having dealings with these young non-Jewish girls. It will lead to Arayos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their God, hates. He detests anything related to Erva, anything that relates to this type of sin, and that will weaken them spiritually, and then they will no longer be a threat to you." Balak listened to this advice. He set up a very sophisticated technique in luring in the young boys to see these young girls. He made stores, and outside the store, they put these old ladies that were ugly as sin, and they were sitting there and manning the stores. And the boys would come and would buy some merchandise. They would say, "Young boy, would you like to buy some pottery? Would you like to buy a new smartphone? Come, we have some, the new latest models have come out." And they would look at who's behind the counter, an old, ugly lady, ugly as sin, dressed up with shmatis all over her. There was no Yetzirah for these. There was no Yetzirah for these women. Believe me. So the boys said, "Can we go?" "Yeah, of course." So they go, and they look at the merchandise, and they say, "This is what you're selling me? I have already a better model than that." "Oh, you want the good stuff? It's inside. Go inside. There you'll get the latest model." So the boy goes inside. Who's inside? A young, beautiful woman that's not dressed, tzniustik, and she has a conversation with the boy, and she tells him, come back tomorrow, we're getting even better merchandise. Come to the house, and one thing leads to another, before you turn around, we got problems. And indeed, this was his technique, and it worked, and it diminished the Kedusha in Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he figured out what was going on, Moshe Rabbeinu, he rallied the troops and says, guess what? We are declaring war with Midian. Try that today, right? Try that today. See how well that goes today. They declared war with Midian. They went out to war, and they went out to war, and they killed them all. They conquered, they destroyed all the men, but they left these young women alive. And when they came back from war, Moshe says, what's give me a report of how many men you killed and how many. And they said, we killed all the men, and the women we let live. And Moshe gets angry. Why did you leave the women alive? So they could have given a simple answer. You didn't tell us to kill the women. You told us to go out to the battlefield. Who fights in the battlefield? In the battlefield, only men fight. Women don't fight. There's no combat in those days. Before modern times, women did not serve in combat roles. So therefore, we didn't kill the women. Moshe was furious. Why didn't you kill the women? They should give an answer. You didn't tell us to kill the women. How come we don't find in the Torah they're not answering that question? So you know what the answer is? The answer is they should have intuitively known. Moshe says, I don't have to tell you everything. I have to spell out for you every last detail. You're smart men. You're smart people. You know why we went into this war. You know what it's all about. You on your own should have had enough seichel to kill the women. The Kenanim that were coming into Eretz Yisrael, I taught you, not teach you to go to Averos. It says, what are they going to cause you to do? They're going to take your sons. Their daughters are attractive. Make no mistake. They're very attractive, their daughters. And they're going to be a very great nisoyin for your sons. They're going to want to go marry them. And then one thing will lead to another. They're going to do avodah zarah. Shemayach ti'acha lahaba se'elu. So al achas kama v'kama. These young women have already succeeded in causing you to be nichshol and gili arayos. How much more so should you kill them? So therefore, he's telling us an incredible insight. If not for this Sefer Chassidim, how are you doing Shalom the Pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu, Milchem is coming up not so far ahead, Parashas Chukas, Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells them, he gets angry, Vayikzayf Moshe, you never told us. I got to tell you every little detail. You're smart people, you should figure this out on your own. And Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. So what do we learn from this whole story? That just because you were not given explicit instructions does not mean you're not obligated to do what you know is true and correct to do. And now, with that we can understand, we're going to come back to that, another example in a few moments. Now let's just go back very quickly and read again the part that we ran through very quickly. Yesh chassid. Just go back to Kufn and Gimel. Yesh chassid. Shlibi doleg achar v'tzen abayray. There are people who are students, who are smart people. They want to serve Hashem, but ve'ena mar b'masim toivim ki chassid ha'chacham mibnei shekibul me'rabay. But they don't do good deeds like other students who were taught what to do. There are students who go to are fortunate to have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe tells them exactly what to do. And there are other students that did not merit to have such a good, wise teacher. And their teacher did not tell them exactly what to do. So he's telling us over here, it doesn't matter. Just because your Rebbe is not as good as your friend's Rebbe, and your Rebbe did not tell you, spell out for you, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, every last detail, exactly what to do, figure it out on your own.
Innovation.
You're obligated to fill in the missing gaps. Umasha chaver lo hirbed Lefish lekibul me'raboy. So the excuse is, the words over here are very terse. The words are very hard to translate because it's very common that we had many, many times. The words of Sivach HaSnidim, sometimes they're not, there's just something missing in the words. To that, the Sefer Chassidim says it's a pathetic excuse. Mm. Don't go tell me the reason why you did not do the mitzvah like your friend did the mitzvah, because your friend had a better Rebbe who told him exactly to do the mitzvah, and your Rebbe didn't tell you to do the mitzvah. That's a pathetic excuse. If you know it's the right thing to do, don't blame your teachers. It's like today we're in the, today if your Rebbe, your kindergarten teacher did not give you the lollipop, so for the rest of your life, the reason why you became a serial killer was because in kindergarten I was abused. Who knows? Maybe there's some truth to it. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe there's something about it. You know, I always thought it was a joke. Now I'm beginning to think maybe there's actually something to it. But over here, the Sefer Chassidim, for whatever reason, says, I don't go for this. I don't buy this. Don't go blame your teachers. Your teachers, whatever they taught you, they taught you. The Rez Zil Gemar. Whatever they didn't teach you, figure it out. You're a smart guy. You're smart when it comes to yourself, when it comes to making money. You know how to figure out the game. You know how to figure out what you need to do to get what you want. So when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't go pathetic excuses, oh, they never taught me this in yeshiva. So they didn't teach you in yeshiva. Open up a sefer and figure out what to do. You'll know what to do. Lefi she'amru le'olam yehi adam arun b'yira. A person has to be clever when it comes to fear Hashem. Person, if you didn't know, knew, so that then maybe you can say it's an excuse. Okay, sometimes in Hanami your mind is not so clear, and even if your mind is clear, who says you understand it? But however, now we go to part we understood, it's not a very good excuse. Let's maybe try to run the next paragraph very, very quick, because I want to cover some ground and I also want to talk about Agamas. Let's try to see if we can just go to one more paragraph very, very quickly. V'chein, next paragraph. Page Kuf Lamedal. Lom lo yama bilom be'emor ha-malach loy al-mo ha-kisa soincha. When the donkey said to him, the malach said to Bilam, why did he hit your donkey? So he had a very simple answer. Bilam could have answered, you know why I hit my donkey? He had a very good answer. The answer is because my donkey is lazy. My donkey stopped in the middle of the road and pushed me into the wall. So therefore, my donkey deserves to be hit. And the donkey was not in a state of pain. The donkey was carrying a burden. And the donkey suddenly stops. Not because it was overburdened. Gam kishalochat saragloi, lomo lo hoyo lo lehakoiso. When the donkey went and pushed him, and stepped on his foot, also he should not have hit the donkey. Ela shehoyu loy lachshov shema sheloy b'ritzoyin HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'akal aleim. That the reason why the donkey stopped and the reason why the donkey stepped on the foot of Bilam, he should have had enough seichel to realize Hashem does not want me to proceed on this path to curse the Jewish people. Bilam was not a fool. Bilam was a very wise man. Bilam, Hashem spoke to him. Hashem told him, I don't want you to go. And then Bilam maneuvered. He maneuvered and Hashem says, you're going to go, I'm not going to stop you, but just don't curse them. And Bilam knew what he was doing. And now when there are signs from heaven that he should cut out the nonsense and stop going, he's a smart man. He should realize this is a sign min HaShemayim. Ad kan. Stop. Therefore, there is no excuse for Bilam to hit the donkey. When the Malach said to him, Bilam, why did you hit the donkey? So Bilam can, if he wanted to, he could say, you know why I hit the donkey? Because the donkey hit me. It did. The donkey stepped on my foot. I hit it back. The donkey is lazy. The donkey is in the middle of traveling, and decides it's not going anymore. And I have not overburdened it. So Bilam had the best possible answer to explain why he hit the donkey. The best possible reason. But deep down in his heart, Bilam knows the reason why the donkey stopped, the reason why the donkey stepped on his foot, it's because Hashem is telling him, don't go. And because Bilam knows the true answer deep down in his heart, Bilam is guilty. Same exact idea. Just because it's not in the manual, it's not in the playbook, is not an excuse. You know better. It's an incredible halacha from the Sefer Hasidim, because that's always the excuse today. The excuse is, I don't know, what are you blaming me for? You do know. Let's cut out the nonsense. You know what's going on. Don't go play dumb. Today the answer is, just play dumb. Play dumb, that's the expression, you play dumb. So here the sage is running over two whole paragraphs. Playing dumb is a pathetic excuse. You want to say play dumb? How come the B'nai Midian, the soldiers didn't play dumb? How come Bilam didn't play dumb? The answer is, it's a pathetic excuse. We all know that you know the truth. If you all know the truth, then the situation should not be the way it is today. This is an unbelievable halacha we're learning here today. If they're coming here to ask you about the future, so fine. But Hashem saw that's not what Bilam really wanted. He wanted to curse them. So Bilam over here, he confessed, actually realized that it's takachu chotasi. I know exactly why the donkey stopped. It's because you do not want me to proceed. I have no one to blame but myself. From these two stories, we learn a person should not play dumb. It's not an excuse. I did not know. You should have figured it out. Before Hashem, the rule, you cannot say it was an accident. Likewise, is another story there in Shimi and Shlomo Melech, which is not for now. The next time, there Shimi ben Gera, who cursed David, could not have given an excuse. He was deserving of being punished. Shimi was told not to cross, not to leave his home. And he crossed Nachal. You have to go look at it. I don't remember exactly the details. But also Shimi had an excuse why he should not be killed. He could have given an excuse that he was not guilty in violating the rules and the ban of Shlomo HaMelech. And we don't find him using that excuse. And the answer is, even though it's an excuse, but we all know good and well that you should have known better. I will continue this tomorrow. We'll take a very short break. I want to finish up today, the last day. I want to discuss a few very short things. We'll see if we have time to finish up. Akdam is going to have a few points.
In the case of Shavudov, that you saw that the kids should feed the father.
You have room, move it.
The thing, move it. On that side, he says that a father can feed 10 kids.
But 10 children cannot feed one father.
In English, we have what it says?
Yes. It's universal. Yeah. It's
then,
the human condition.
10 kids cannot feed the father.
The Bukhari says, it's Tzivi Hashem and Ratzon Hashem.
Oh.
But Bilam knew what the Ratzon Hashem was.
Very good, excellent, very good, excellent.
That's what he says. I'll show you, they don't have Vashmin and Kavitz Memorim, I'll show
very
you.
Good, very good, beautiful, perfect. Exactly what it says here, perfect. Very good. How are you?
Good.
How's the job?
Baruch Hashem.
Will you have a supper this night?
We'll talk later. All the secrets I don't want to share. Ratzon Hashem, right?